You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yet again, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host. Praise be to the Father, who is the Most High. Praise Him, for He alone is worthy. None compares to Him. You know it's true. I know it's true. And our enemies know it's true. Well, a brother named Rick wrote me, I have to correct something. I made a little mistake about something. And he told me that Princess Diana, when she died in the car accident, it was in France, not in the UK, in England. So when that story came out, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. The things, the bullet points I remembered was I saw the car, and I remember that all the cameras went out in that part of the city. I mean, just by chance, the cameras went out. You know, when they're trying to hide something, this again goes along with my Jews burying the information. Because she probably didn't get killed in the first place. But my era, which I did not know that this took place in France, not in the UK, so thank you for correcting me, Brother Rick. Also, I'd like to thank David for his recent donation. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. There's something else now. This week, I had made a little picture and posted it on the social sites as a doing something for the kingdom thing. And I want to show you what I was revealed just by doing this. You've all heard this many, many, many times. It's from the book of Genesis, right? But it blew me away because I realized something that was being said here. Here's the verse. And Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light. And Yahweh saw the light, that it was good, and Yahweh divided the light from the darkness. Yeah, I'm letting you think about that. Now, what was revealed to me about that is He divided the light from the darkness, but it gets even bigger than that. See, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when He did this at the beginning, He created more after this. Just as what I'm going to tell you now, He does more after what He does here. But in the beginning, He divided the light from the darkness. In the end, He divides the sheep from the goats, the light from the darkness. Now that is amazing to me. And it's exciting to me. What do you think? He divides the light from the darkness, and then He continued the creation. And at the end, He will divide the sheep from the goats, and then He continues on and does the judgment, and so on and so forth. In other words, we are the light. Remember, I was talking about the fact that we could say to people, you're anti-light, when they try to say things against white people. You just say, you're anti-light. You live in the darkness. You hate the light, don't you? You hate white people. See, we are the light of the world, as He has told us. Now, this isn't the same light that the Masons are seeking. You know which light that is. I just think that's very interesting, and I thought I'd share that with you. You see, in this end time right now, the light is very unpopular. The truth is very unpopular. the white people are very unpopular. It seems that all the beasts of the field, the two-legged beasts of the field, are worked up against us and have surrounded the woman Israel, whom we are, the bride of Christ. Amazing. And they want to expunge the light. They want to kill it. They want to bury it. But the scriptures tell us that after this flood of these creatures surrounds us, the earth is going to swallow them instead. So my prayer, as always, may those that seek to destroy us, may they be destroyed by their own devices. And that goes for America too. May all those that seek to destroy America, may they be destroyed by their own devices. And these beasts of the field, two-legged weapons that are sent here to surround the woman Israel, the light of the world, that was to be separate from the darkness. In other words, Yahweh divided the light from the darkness, and he told the light, whom we are, to be an holy people, to be separate from the darkness. You get it? To be separate from the world, which is living in darkness. You see? Isn't that wonderful? It is to me. I don't know how you feel about these things. Or if you're even seeing what I'm saying, for that matter. Am I saying that I'm so intelligent you can't see all my... How? No, I'm not saying that at all. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what I've just told you. But it is incredible, nevertheless. Well, last week we did not continue on the Watchtower and the Masons, but this week we will. And last week we left off... My goodness. We left off at a very interesting place, and it was, we're still doing comparisons of the Watchtower or the Jehovah's Witnesses and Masonry. And this was, neither are really Bible-based beliefs. Okay? So the Watchtower is not a Bible-based belief. I'll read this for you again because it's good to, it's only a small part that we read last week and then had to end. So as far as the Watchtower, Russell goes, an unbiased review of Russell's claims shows he claimed that reading the Bible alone produces darkness or produced darkness. His books produce light. See the theme of today? And were the key to understand the scriptures. In other words, his light, his books produce the light to understand the scriptures, but alone the Bible itself is, it produced darkness, he's saying. You realize how, what a bold, foolish claim that is, since in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. The Word was God. In other words, the Word is the light of the truth. So, of course, he's claiming the opposite. But let's continue. His books produced light and were the key to understand the scriptures. The Laodicean Messenger, page 69, Russell gave us the keys to the scripture. Likewise, the modern-day society lamented in a watchtower that those who read only the Bible reverted back to Christian beliefs. Their belief, then, is really based on those keys, which are not based on the Bible at all, but the reasoning of man. And now Masonry. Masonry, contrary to popular belief, is not based upon the Bible. Listen carefully, please. Neshab. Masonry is actually based on the Kabbalah, a medieval book of magic and mysticism. Can you say Dennis Fetcho? Can you say Blackbird Nine? Can you say the Hart Brothers? And to your God and your gods, The Deadly Deception, page 128. So it continues. Masonry makes no profession of Christianity, but looks forward to the time when the labor of our ancient brethren shall be symbolized by the erection of a spiritual temple. A spiritual temple. You see the relation of that false doctrine with the other false doctrine about the non-Jews are the spiritual brethren of Abraham. Nonsense. The spiritual Israel, the spiritual temple here. You see, these devils, they love that word spiritual, and they like to use it to confuse people. So the brethren, they look forward to this time when the labor of the ancient brethren shall be, they even call each other brethren, shall be symbolized by the erection of a spiritual temple in which there are which there shall be but one altar and one worship. Listen to this carefully. Can you say the one world religion? And can you see who's working for it? One common altar of masonry on which the Veda, Shastra, Sade, Zen Vestra, Quran, and the Holy Bible shall lie. And at whose shrine the Hindu, the Persian, the Assyrian, the Chaldean, the Egyptian, the Chinese, the Mohammedan, the Jew, and the Christian will kneel. The Kentucky Monitor, Fellowcraft Degree, page 95. So, we see that the Jew has used masonry to do revolutions to take down the monarchs, which was one of their goals, and to bring in democracy to all nations of the world. They're still working on these things, right? They're working on Sudan this very moment. Democracy is coming to Sudan. And the money, one world money system has brought in, but been brought in by the Jew through democracy. It's the money system, the control mechanism of the one world government is the one world money system. And we see that the mechanism of the Jews, masonry, that was used to help bring all these things in, is also working to bring the one world religion in. And we see the Pope today, who is a Jew, bringing all these people to the altar of Babylon's Catholic churches, and they are agreeing that they have everything in common. And what do they have in common, ladies and gentlemen? What have I told you? As I always say, they all have Lucifer as their god. Now, I have done an article called The Monstrance, Is Lucifer in Guise? It's on my website. And within it has the movie where the Pope, where the Catholics declare that Lucifer is God and say that Jesus is his son. So you can see the proof of this. So, to continue with the book here. To all this era of stupidity, the absurd reading of the established church, taking literature, the figurative, allegorical, and mythical language of a collection of Oriental books of different ages, directly and inevitably led. Albert Pike, 33 Degrees, Morals and Dogma, page 818. Another quote. The Jews, the Chinese, the Turks, each reject either the newer part of the Testament or the older part of the Testament, or both. And yet we see no good reason why they should not be made Masons. In fact, Blue Lodge Masonry has nothing whatever to do with the Bible. It is not founded on the Bible. If it was, it would not be Masonry. It would be something else. And that was from Chase's Digest of Masonic Law, page 207 through 209. Parallels in belief. Beliefs. Both have another Bible. Remember, I had told you that I got a revelation. This is before we were reading any of this stuff. That the Jehovah Witnesses have a different mediator than Christ. They have written they have made their own translation of the Bible, and instead of looking at the Bible, you go to that as the mediator. Now, we know the mediator is Christ, and Christ is the Word. That's the mediator between Yahweh and man, the Word, or Christ. They're one and the same. Well, Russell has another mediator, you see? So they're trying to make Christ a liar, saying that there's only one mediator, but they're saying there's two mediators here at least. Really, this is the real mediation between God and man. So let's read. Russell considered the Great Pyramid a second Bible and saw in its features countless hidden messages. Russell says, testimony agrees fully and in every detail with the entire plan of God as we have learned that plan from the scriptures. Its wonderful correspondences with the Bible leaves no room for doubt that the same divine inspirer of the prophets and the apostles inspired this witness, quote unquote, also. Volume 3, page 362. Our hearts overflow with gratitude as we see the converging rays of divine testimony from the law, the rays. Alice Bailey has a book called The Seven Rays. I believe that's what it's called. And on the top of the Statue of Liberty, you see the seven rays of light coming out from Semiramis's headband. The rays of light, the rays of sun from the sun god, divine knowledge. Again, Russell says, our hearts overflow with gratitude as we see the converging rays of divine testimony from the law, the prophets, the apostles, and thine own hitherto dark sayings, and even from the long hidden mystery of Egypt's wonderful witness, which is the pyramid. More about this discussed in other pages. Masonry. The Masons have considered a wide range of items as scripture, including the Egyptian Book of the Dead, Leadbeater, Charles Webster, ancient mystic rites, originally glimpses of Masonic history, 1926, reprinted by the Theosophical Publishing House, Wheaton, Illinois, 1986, page 25, relates how Masonry gets its mysteries from ancient Egypt. Please listen now. Are you listening? Neshab. The Kabbalah, which comes in three forms, is defined in Webster's Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary, as a medieval and modern system of Jewish theosophy, mysticism, and thaumaturgy. I think that's what you'd say, thaumaturgy, magic, marked by a belief in creation through emanation and cipher method of interpreting scripture, the Kabbalah. You see, it comes in three forms. Let's just get that solidified. The Kabbalah, and they spelled it with a K this time, which comes in three forms, is defined in Webster's Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary as a medieval and modern system of Jewish theosophy, mysticism, and thaumaturgy, which is magic, marked by a belief in creation through emanation and a cipher method of interpreting scripture. Page 193. The Kabbalah, and it says Kabbalah and other variant spellings, is the basis of Freemasonry. Are you digging? Are you understanding now? Do you see why on that particular station that these people promote each other? You know what I'm talking about. A woman told me something that I thought was very interesting, and I believe it's very true. She said the Jew always promotes the other Jew. And there it is again. I think she's right. As a matter of fact, I know she's right. The Watchtower and the Masons, right? So the next thing, the next comparison or parallel, both feel Christian scholars don't know the first thing about the Bible. Russell preached, to some it may seem peculiar that the scriptures should imitate that God has secrets, that some are not privileged to understand the divine plan while others are not so privileged. So some are and some are not. Such will perhaps say, where is the revelation of God's secrets? Surely it's not in the Bible, for if it were in the Bible, it would not be a secret, since the Bible is open, accessible to all the civilized world today. We answer that the Bible, accessible to all civilized men, but is not open to all. To the majority, even of professed Christians, it is a sealed book, and to none more than so than to the ministry. Newspaper Sermons, page 397. So let me comment on this. We do know that Paul talked about the fact that there are mysteries in the Bible that some understand and others don't. We do also know that Yeshua taught in parables so that some certain people would not understand. So, if he was an universalist and wanted to save the whole world, there's no way he would have been preaching in parables, correct? So, in other words, the Bible is discriminatory. Of course it is. It discriminates. There are some that are born, and this is me still commenting, there's some that are born for eternal life and some that are born for destruction. That's just the way it is. You see, the Bible being an open book, I want to comment on that too. Since the scriptures are an open book to all men, but you see, we're really not supposed to be giving the book to people that it doesn't belong in their hands because all they do is create confusion out of it. It's not for them. Our Bible is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not for Jews, not for Chinamen, not for Negroids, etc., etc., etc. All they do with that is bring confusion. But understand one thing here very quickly, and I just want to point it out because I could see it immediately. While the Bible is open, or the scriptures are open to us to read, the Talmud is not open because they say anybody, any non-Jew that reads the Talmud should be killed, correct? So if it was such a good thing that and it's supposedly the Bible came out of the Talmud, which is a lie, a complete lie. They are absolutely the opposite. But do you see how the Christian scripture is open, but the Talmudic is forbidden and not open at all? And the only reason they wrote this padded down version was to take the people off the track that were finding out about what the Talmud really had inside of it. As I've been telling you before, the Jews present two faces to the world, one that they put on for us and one that they put on when they're amongst themselves. This two-faced thing is everywhere with them. They're double-minded, they're two-faced, they're hypocritical, and it's pretty amazing. They put on one face and tell you something, but they have no intentions of ever being that or doing that. So it continues now. In fact, Russell felt the ministry hid the truth on purpose. He says that false teachers throughout Babylon have hidden the key of knowledge to the privileges of the gospel age. Let me stop again and make another comment. I was talking about how the Catholics, the Babylonian Catholics, or the Roman Catholics, they kept the scriptures from the world for years and years and years and years and years. And still today, they have a private library that they keep from the world today. They're hiding something. They're hiding things that if you probably found out about them, you would, your belief in the Father would grow exponentially, probably. So it's a kind of a weird accusation, this Russell fellow. But anyway, Masonry. Some Masonic leaders simply see the lodge as an equal to the church, as in this address by M.E. Fowler, Grand Master, leader of the Knights Templar. Remember what I told you, that like the Catholics that do the Black Mass, that do the Catholic Mass, it's just one step from the Black Mass of Satan worshipers. But also that this is an imitation of the church. Masonry is an imitation of the church. It's the devil's church. One of millions. So let's continue here. Here's his quote. It has been said that God writes his thoughts in all the varied things around us. Masonry also must be an expression of God's thoughts, for through a study of it, man learns how he should deal with his fellow man. Through it, he learns how to serve and adore his creator. Truly, Masonry, like the church, must have been created by divine inspiration. Knights Templar 9, 1990, page 2. I'm smiling at the numbers there. It continues. Then there are others, such as the High Knights Templar, interviewed by the author, who said the churches don't know anything, and that he learned his religious knowledge in the lodge in spite of attending church in his lifetime. A survey of Masonic references will show the reader much contempt for the Christians and what they know. The Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy states that the Masonic Knights Templars are the only ones to know Jesus and his mission. Parallels. Bible is written in a code. It's a hidden book and is a temple. This is what the parallels of what these two believe. Did you hear that? Bible's written in a code. It's a hidden book and is a temple. Now, the Bible code was brought out through the Hogsley. Hogsley wrote a book on the Bible code. So that ought to tell you a little bit about Hogsley. And he also came out on the Prophecy Club, which should even tell you more about Hogsley. Even the writer of this book came out through the Prophecy Club. But I don't believe he was invited back but Hogsley was. Russell declares in the Watchtower, December 1879, page 5 through 7, that the Bible is written in a code. Horowitz, in his book, Pastor Charles Taze Russell, early American Zionist, spends his first chapter praising Russell for realizing that the Jewish writers wrote in an intentional code and for being able to decode it. Russell, in the Bible Examiner, October 1876, page 27, states that a key to the Bible is needed. Let us search the scriptures for the key, he said. In other reference, he calls the scripture a temple. Such language sounds Masonic. And now Masonry. Masonry says, it must also be noted that those who originally wrote the Bible did not intend to give out the truth in such plain form that he who ran might read. Nothing was further from their thoughts than to write an open book of God, quote unquote. The great occultists who wrote the Zohar are very empathetic upon this point. The secrets of the Torah were not to be understood by all. It's really the Torah. The Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, page 318. The Bible contains much valuable occult knowledge. Next quote. While the greatest minds of the Jewish and Christian worlds have realized that the Bible is a book of allegories, that's not true. Few seem to have taken the trouble to investigate its symbols and parables. Moses, his mystic keys to the sacred writings are the Kabbalah. Kabbalah, spelled three different ways, Q, C, and K. Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy, page, you know. Both believe in a future life for all mankind. Let me just take a quick sip of my iced coffee, please. Russell's preoccupation with the Golden Age will be explored later in this book. Question, do you believe in universal salvation? Russell, I believe in a universal redemption. Bible Students Convention, 1909, page 83. Masonry. Dumanil, Lynn, Freemasonry and American Culture, 1880 to 1930, page 48, states, the fraternity ought to nurture belief in God and immortality. At Masonic funerals, a spring of evergreen representing immortality is placed on the grave. Though the funerals vary some from state to state, the message, "We'll meet you in the lodge above heaven," is spoken. That's not above heaven, but above. We'll meet you in the lodge above, meaning heaven. So-called Christian Masons who perform a Masonic funeral service are claiming all Masons are glory-bound. In contradiction to the Christian scriptures, there is no blood sacrificed at the Masonic temples and halls for the remission of sins. There is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. Christ and his followers claim that it was Christ's blood that was shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26, verse 28, therefore, the Masonic belief in the future golden age is different from the Christian belief and can properly be called a Masonic belief. The work and mission of NAME, a fund for New Age Youth Incorporated, in the New Age now approaching, is dedicated to the fraternal and benevolent spirit of Saint Germain, whom we have selected as a special sponsor, among many others, of our efforts to transmute modern speculative order of Freemasonry into a medium for the dissemination of the sublime teachings of ancient spiritual masonry. in the 17,500 lodges of the United States and Canada are to act as harbingers of that new order of the ages. That great golden age. Uh-oh, that's the same as you know who, Charles Taze Russell, that is to come. This great golden age that is to come. Now listen for a second. You know who Saint Germain was? Saint Germain was supposed to be somebody that was able to live eternally. That he found the concoction or whatever it is. You'd have to look it up to get the real specifics. But he was supposed to have been able to live for many lifetimes. And when I had talked to you about that particular Jack the Ripper show with the numbers there, the fellow that was supposedly this deep, he was a Jew in real life, but he was supposed to be this deep studier of Jack the Ripper. He claimed that he could be Saint Germain or found the secret of Saint Germain. So, it says here, may the Masonic order become reoriented to make its particular contribution to that glorious objective. Perkins, Lynn F. Faith, Truth, Destiny, Decrees, Works, A Declaration of Faith and Rebirth of Spiritual Masonry, Lakemont, Georgia, CSA Press, Publishers, 1973, page 71. Okay, you remember that the first thing that Russell rejected before he rejected the Presbyterian Church, the Congregational Church, and eventually Masonry, and I mean, eventually Christianity and the Father himself. And then he bowed his knee to the unknown God, remember? Okay, both reject the doctrine of hell. Russell's rejection of hell is widely known and is sprinkled liberally through his writings such as Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, page 156 through 158. Russell, in The Watchtower R, said the doctrine of hell was contrary to every element of God's character. He wrote and circulated 3 million tracts. What say the scriptures about hell, quote-unquote? Wherein he purports to refute the doctrine of hell. I wonder what he's doing now. Masonry. The Supreme Masonic Council states their rejection of hell in Morals and Dogma, 1871, page 93. We do not see the churches and priesthoods of Christendom relinquishing their old task of governing men by imagery terrors. We do not see the great religious teachers aiming to discover truth for themselves and for others. Ladies and gentlemen, are you getting something out of this? I hope you are. Because I don't believe we're wasting our time here. See, the similarities between the Watchtower and the Masons are also the similarities between many other of the religions of the world, including the New Age religions. So, both of them, next parallel, both speak with the same voice to writ that a lie is not a lie when one deceives someone not worthy to know the truth. Just think about that. Both speak with the same voice to writ that a lie is not a lie when one deceives someone not worthy to know the truth. My question would be, how do you know when someone is not worthy to know the truth? Okay, Russell and the Society. The Watchtower Society's policy of deception is named Theocratic War Strategy. The Society has informed its followers, Jehovah's Witnesses, that it is not a lie to deceive a person not qualified to hear the truth. The author finds this incredible, but has been the recipient personally of this strategy numerous times by elders and other Watchtower officials, that it appears to be so patterned that witnesses may not even think about it but automatically do it. The Watchtower, June 1st, 1960, page 352, says, "It is proper to hide the truth from God's enemies. The aid to Bible understanding, a WB&TS Bible Dictionary, 1971, page 1060, informs readers that lying only occurs when one deceives a person who is qualified to hear the truth. Lying generally involves saying something false to a person who is entitled to know the truth." The Watchtower, July 15th, 1961, page 420, advises Jehovah Witnesses that they must actually hate bad people. People outside of their organization are viewed as evil and opposers of truth, therefore unqualified to be told the truth. When Jesus advises his disciples to be kind to the least of these, the society claims he means only to be kind to other Jehovah Witnesses. Masonry, Masonic, okay, Masonry. So we put this rope bucked right up against each other. You know that only the devil could think up something like this. You know what I mean? Or one of his children. To convince people that it's the same thing when you say, well, you know, there's white lies and then there's, you know, real heavy lies. It's okay to tell a few white lies once in a while. No, it's not. Now, we could get into, well, you could say, well, Abraham lied to save his life two different times by saying his wife was his sister or whatever, right? Because he knew he was going to be killed if they and they were going to take his wife. That's a horse of a different color. Otherwise, you know, I don't look at that as being hypocritical at all. There might be sometime in your life when you might have to lie about something, maybe to save your life. But you should not be a liar. You should not be practicing liar. See, what happens with practicing liars, this is what you're taught in anyone that the Jews are teaching these people that are coming into our countries to be liars. They teach them how to lie to become accepted into America, these immigrants. So now it teaches these people, oh, to lie is a good thing. And that I can see the benefits of lying. You know what I mean? And they teach the people that are in the CIA and all these different things, they're practicing liars themselves. Now, what happens, he just showed here, that the more you lie, the more you become a practicing liar. After a while, it's just automatic. You're just a complete liar. See, after a while, you become a reprobate by lying all the time. And you're given over to a reprobate mind. Lying is serious business, and it should not be done. So what does Masonry believe about this? See, in other words, what it is the ends justify the means again. And we already know that that's a Masonic Jewish thing. So what does Masonry believe? Masonic references are almost word for word identical. A comment is appropriate here. There have been individual Christian theologians from time to time that have advocated that a Christian may deceive someone like a robber. They hold a Christian is under no obligation to facilitate a crime. They refer to Christ's suggestion to violate the Sabbath to save an ox as a precedent. See Systematic Theology, Volume 2 by Charles Hodges, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Erdman's Reprint, 1981. However, no mainline denomination has ever supported such a notion, nor did Luther, Calvin. Zwingli, Menno, Simons. Nor most other theologians. Norman Geiser also supports Hodges' view in Christian Ethics Options and Issues, page 88 through 95, But neither man advocates anything as extreme as the Masons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Both will lie under oath to protect friends. Where does it stop? This is their next parallel. Russell, while under an oath on the Holy Bible in court, lied to protect his friends. The court documents of this are reprinted in The Moneymakers, page 111 through 136. Russell was protecting his friends who had created a sham company, the Solon Society. Sol on, get it? On is the sun god, and Sol is the sun god. The Solon Society. Russell, in 1907, denied in court any knowledge of the Solon Society. However, witness after witness showed he knew about and was even involved in helping it. Jehovah's Witnesses today. This type of behavior continues even today. Witnesses loyal to the society at times to get away with all kinds of sins because their brothers will cover for them. But woe to those showing the slightest disloyalty. Dwayne Magnani has been documenting in his books on how the Watchtower Society has been deliberating, deceiving sincere JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. See his books such as Who is the Faithful and Wise Servant? And Eyes of Understanding. Now, what does Masonry say about it? Rene, Handbook of Masonry, page 183. You must conceal all crimes of your brother Masons. And should you be summoned as a witness against a brother Mason, be always sure to shield him. It may be perjury to do this, it's true, but you're keeping your obligations. Let me stop right there and make a comment. Your obligations to your brother over the obligation of the Father in heaven himself. But, of course, they don't believe in the Father in heaven, you see? So it continues here. It is right to lie, if necessary, to protect the secrets of the lodge, or to protect another Mason by concealing his wrongdoing. It can even be right to deliberately deceive sincere Masons seeking to learn the lessons and secrets of Masonry. The Deadly Deceit, page 137. I hope you're listening. Okay, I'll end this paragraph and we'll take a quick break. This next paragraph. The blue degrees are but the portico or porch of the temple. That's where Jachin and Boaz are. The two, remember I talked about the two pillars? Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but is intended that he shall imagine that he understands them. Their true explication or explanation is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry, Morals and Dogma, page 819. Now, just by chance, I decided to play you a song that relates to today's show. Those who share the light, it says in the song. I must tell you that in this album, I did not know that the word Lord meant Baal, even though the Lord, you know who the Lord I'm talking about in this is. It's the owner of all of us, the Father. But I don't like using that word, but I just wanted to let you know that that's why you're hearing this here. Is what's interesting, in my new album, I have a song called Judgment Day, and I've already sung the vocals to it. And it says, I say the Lord speaks on Judgment Day. And it was done before I knew about this stuff. So I would never say that today. But I just wanted you to know that. Nevertheless, I think this song is apropos, and I think you'll think so too. This is from my To Begin to Destroy album, and I like this song very much.
the past be past. Your dark secrets will never last. The Lord will come one day and wash your sins away.
Well, yes, that song was called, and is called, One Day. And I like the line in it where I say, don't you worship the sun and moon? What has it really ever done for you? The answer is nothing. I'm not saying the sun hasn't done anything. It's helped to grow plants and stuff, but you're not supposed to be worshiping the sun. You know what I mean? The sun does not speak. It burns. So, interesting. I just want to welcome you back to the Saxon's Creed radio show, coming to you from davidjamesboston.com. Be sure to visit davidjamesboston.com for very nice articles and interesting articles that will teach you many things. Also, you can hear my music, samples of my music, view my artwork, and the shows are all posted there. So it will not be a waste of your time. I hope you'll visit davidjamesboston.com, and you can give a donation there if you'd be so kind. I'd appreciate it. So let's get back to the subject matter here. And we're still comparing the parallels of these Watchtower and Masonic organizations. Both emphasize continuing revelation. Russell began the Jehovah Witnesses' infatuation with the word light. See, that's what I said in the beginning of that song. Those who share the light. Russell began the Jehovah Witnesses' infatuation with the word light. Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures state, we must walk in the light. And on page 9, he says that the light of God is progressive. Who are the progressives today? Since then, according to the Watchtower Society, the light is getting brighter. But they have also printed that the old light doesn't contradict the new light, and that it is a real humdinger of a contradiction to the history of doctrinal flip-flops of the society and what they've gone through. I must tell you that they had predicted the end of the world in 1914, by the way. I'm sure somewhere in here it probably will talk about that. If not, I'm just letting you know. They predicted the end of the world in 1914. Of course, that date passed a long time ago, eh? So, What is light today for Jehovah's Witnesses may be discarded as darkness tomorrow. Already in Russell's time, the Bible students were referring to present truth. The Laodicean Messenger, page 37, and saying such things are you in the present truth? That's a very convenient thing. Like, you know, that was when the Jehovah's Witnesses predicted the end of the world. That was the truth of that day. But are you in the present truth? You know, we're not to be judged by our past. You dig what I'm saying? Now, masonry. Light is the very essence, quote unquote, of masonry, according to Mackey's Encyclopedia. In Ferguson's 50 Million Brothers, he describes the Masonic initiation and the importance of the word light. In the initiation, the question is asked, brother, what do you desire the most? The answer? Light. Dig? And who is the light? Why, it's the light bringer, Lucifer, Halel. So let me read that question again. This is what the initiate. Brother, what do you desire the most? Answer, light. You know, Lucifer, the architect of the universe. You dig what I'm saying? It's that sick and it's that crazy. Both see an exclusiveness to truth. In regards to this subject, it is instructive to remember what the actual New Testament, Newer Testament Greek word, I'm going to change that to, word for truth, aletheia meant. So it is instructive to remember what the actual Newer Testament Greek word for truth, aletheia, meant. Its basic meaning focuses on that which is open to view, that which is unconcealed and transparent. For sure, to be truth means avoidance of falsehood and deception. Truth is beautiful. There is no purpose to hide it. You should tell the Masons that. And you should tell the Jews that with their pretend religion. But listen, I'm going to spell this word because I know that there's a brother or two out there that would love to look this word up. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. That is. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. It's the word for truth in the Newer Testament Greek. Russell believed he himself was a revelation of God and that without his books, people would be lost. Sounds like Tex Mars, doesn't it? You know, when Tex Mars was told about the truth that we are the true Israel, his wife Wanda told him this. She was given the information, and she had read it, and she said, it's true, Tex. And you know what Tex, what his response was? Yeah, but what about my books? Now, I do feel sorry for Tex in a way, because he worships his book sales and all this stuff. Yet he says he doesn't take any of the money from the book sales or anything. It goes right back into the ministry. Neither here nor there, whatever. All I can say is, yeah, what about your books as opposed to the truth? Which is more important? Or which is your book, if you found out that this was the real truth and it made your books have some lies, why don't you just go in and correct those things when you find out the truth? Instead, no, just hide. See, he knows the Father's name is Yahweh. And I would think he has to know that the Jews cannot be saved. But he says they can. And that's not the truth. So, that's a parallel between Russell and Tex Mars. Russell believed he himself was a revelation of God and that without his books, people would be lost. Volume 8. Yeah, and he gives all the pages. In one sense, Russell believed his books were superior to the Bible. Well, I didn't say that about Tex. Anyway, The Bible, divinely inspired, could not be understood by anyone until his books, divinely directed, came along. This is what Russell believed. In other words, to understand the Bible, one needed another revelation. But what does the scripture tell us? That the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would lead us to the truth in these things, correct? But Russell says, so now Russell, he himself and his books are mediators between man and God, because nobody could have understood the scriptures without his books. That's what he believes. This is why it's important for us to know these things, ladies and gentlemen. So let me ask you this. Are you in the present truth? ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's incredible. Russell warned his followers not to turn to others for light. He said Bible students need to be aware of those many who presented themselves as special teachers and brought new lights. The Watchtower, 2532. Okay, now Masonry. There is, underlying all Masonic thinking and writing, an attitude and spirit of elitism which says Masonry is not for everyone, just for the select few, which means the elect. You see the imitation? Once you've seen the real, you can see the imitators. And this is an imitation. At the same time, Masonry teaches it's the only true religion. I thought it wasn't a religion. Wait a minute. We already discussed that. All the high muckety-mucks of Masonry have said Masonry is a religion, and there are those that like to confuse the issue. I told you it's not only a religion, but it's a science. And it's the science of man perfected. Again, let me say this in this message for those of you that didn't hear it before. The secret doctrine of Freemasonry is that man is on his way to becoming a Christ. Each man is a potential Christ, equal with that of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was born, he was a man just like you and I, but attained becoming a Christ. And you and every other man can become a Christ as well. That's the secret doctrine of Masonry. You waste all this time reading all these books and all this nonsense just to find out it was the devil's promise in the garden to Eve that man could become God. And it's through science, ladies and gentlemen. Soul science, in this case. That's what the Rosicrucians taught, soul science, etc., etc. And that's what Masonry teaches. It's a religion and a science. And the secret word was Mahabon, but that was not the real secret word. That was in place of the secret word, which is the Christ within. The divine within, you get it? See, Christ is a title. Like the morning star, Jesus was also the morning star, and they said that of Lucifer. It's a title. So now you know what the secret. All you Masons out there, you don't have to read your books anymore. I just told you what the secret is, that all men have a potential to become Christ, to become God. You understand? And the secret word you've been looking for is the Christ within. It's the false promise from the devil that man could be as gods, knowing good and evil. It was this flattery that the devil would use to set up the weapons for Armageddon, as we're doing today. Through science. And these people like Buzz Aldrin and everything were Masons. So through science and through soul science, one small step for man, one large step for mankind, or whatever. You know, it's, you understand? In other words, one small step for man, but now man has become God. Now mankind has become God. Man has become God in this small step. By stepping onto the moon, you see. But I don't believe anybody stepped onto the moon. Anyway, because if we had stepped onto the moon, we would have continued going to the moon over and over and over again. It would have been a regular thing. So Masonry, he said, teaches that it's only the only true religion. Now, we hear the Catholics say the same thing, the Roman Catholics. I'll do that for my brother. Or the Babylonian Catholics. They're the only religion. Right? And the Jehovah's Witnesses are the only religion. And the Masons are the only religion. Etc., 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 etc. And that all other religions are but corrupted and perverted forms of Masonry. This is both elitist and contradictory. The light, quote unquote, of Freemasonry, its secrets, and its pathway to perfection are only for the elite few initiated into its knowledge and wisdom. I wouldn't say the word wisdom there. I would have said intellectualism, because they don't have wisdom. That's of the Father. Excluded are women, Negroes, and poor, the poor who haven't the money with which to pay, the cripples, blind, and deaf who can't perform the recognition signs or see and hear them, and the feeble-minded who can't receive the teachings or be trusted to protect them. All such people, including the wives, the daughters, and some of the sons of Masons, are considered profane. That's what they call us, unclean or unworthy, the profane, and can never be anything else. No references are required here, for it is common knowledge. The Deadly Deception, page 140. Are you starting to put it all together when I told you what the secret doctrine was? Remember, if you want to learn about this, go to davidjamesboston.com. Right on the front page, you'll see this video called Masonic Secrets. In there, you will see right out of the books. Don't try to put the video in a big, big, big screen, because it gets cloudy, because it looks like it's been put through generations. Keep the video on a smaller monitor and you'll be able to read the words better. But I'll tell you something right now. In there, it will tell you that the secret doctrine is that all men are on the way to becoming God. Now, I'm going to be putting up a video that I got a long time ago of that fellow Deagle. And you're going to be surprised that now that you know what the secret doctrine of Masonry is, and the secret word is the Christ within, you will see Dr. Deagle himself tell you that he is on his way to becoming a Christ, which revealed to me who he was. Ever since then, I never really hear about this guy anymore. You see, he's a fake. He's one of them. And how did I catch him at this? Well, Fritz had told me a long time ago through the books or whatever, or interviews, he said that they'll wait until the very last part of a video to reveal things that normally they wouldn't reveal. He said they'll give you 90% truth and then hit you with this stuff near the end, which is what David Icke did. He gave a lot of truth. When I first saw this David Icke fellow, I said, wow, this guy's telling some serious things that are kind of important. At the end, he told me how Christ wasn't real and it wasn't the Jews. And so I knew right away what his agenda was, so I put him to bed very quickly. And Deagle, he did this. I'll be putting this up on my site soon, it'll be on my site and it'll be on my BitChute channel. He waited till the very end of the video when he thought everybody had turned the video off, and this is what he said. So you'll see what I'm talking about. So this guy put him to bed too. So let's see here. Now the next parallel, both appeal to reason, to mysteries, and hidden knowledge. Russell's literature abounds with the mention of hidden knowledge, of mysteries, and so forth. As a sampling of this, consider Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, page 20. The glorious mystery of his throne hidden from ages, now made known, page 27. Paul wasn't permitted to tell the mysteries of God. God hadn't revealed his plan up until then. Page 85. There has existed a necessity for keeping this mystery, God's plan, hidden. Well, I will say one thing about this, that of course the Father told Daniel to close up the books that they weren't meant for him to know when Daniel wanted to know things, right? Well, yes, there are things that God has closed up so that the devil could not ruin his plan of salvation. You see, if the devil knew the plan was for Yeshua to die on the cross to bring us back to him, to redeem the Adamic race, which the devil hates so much, and his offspring, then he could have more easily tried to foil the plan. Now, of course, he used this one of his sons, Herod, the Edomite Jew, to try to kill all the firstborn at that time. And the same thing happened in the time of with Nimrod in the time of Abraham. He was trying to kill the firstborn then because of an astronomical event is what I'm trying to say, if I can spit it out. Remember when there were this star that was up there and stars came from the four parts of the sky, the north, east, south, and what, cardinal points, and swallowed up the star? Remember that? Or this star swallowed them all up? Well, that was what Nimrod was afraid of because of his seers told him those things. So anyway, what I'm saying is, yes, the Father has revealed, not revealed everything. What did the seven thunders say, ladies and gentlemen? I would have loved to know, but there was a reason why that was not allowed to be revealed. And someday it will be revealed to us. The Father will let us know if he wants to. But not until whatever that was being hidden occurs. Just like he spoke in parables. So to continue now, because Russell was promoted as God's servant, dispensing spiritual food, whatever he said became truth. That blind obedience was later redirected onto a collective faithful and wise servant class. What the elite say and do becomes right by itself. Now, Masonry. The Mason Steinbrenner, he couldn't be a Jew, could he, Steinbrenner? In his Origin and Early History of Masonry, page 229, tells of the great obligation to conceal, Masonic work. The Deadly Deception, page 142. Masonry is, according to its own philosophers, a system of pure religion expressed in symbols, one which cannot be understood without a knowledge of the true meaning of them. Of them what? The symbols. This makes a proper understanding of those symbols terribly important. For the Christian Mason, accepting and guarding those symbols and their secrets, quote-unquote, with his physical life at stake, he must understand them. They are trusting in the teachings of the Lodge concerning these symbols with their eternal redemption or damnation at stake. Herein lies the most terrible manifestation of Masonic morality. That philosophy of the elite, which makes whatever they do right because it is they, the elite, who do it. My goodness. Remember, I'm going to reveal something to you. that I've talked about before. In the Roman Catholic Church, you see the Mother Mary and her baby. But that's not the Mother Mary and her baby at all. It's the Diana and her offspring. And that offspring is a result of the sons of God and the daughters of men, the angels having sex with the Adamic woman, and the offspring being the Nephilim, the gods. So in the case of Semiramis, that could be Semiramis, and that she, her husband, she was the one that brought the mystery religions back to Babylon when they were lost for a while since they were in Egypt. And so when she had a son, the son's name was Tammuz or Tammuz, and she claimed he was a god. So when you see the dot and the circle, you see the male and the female. The male being the penis, the circle being, so, you know, in Washington, D.C., you see, which is 666 feet tall, the obelisk in Washington, D.C., that is near the female, the pond. That obelisk is 555 feet above ground, and it is 111 feet underground. The penis of Osiris, or the male and the female, the sons of God and the daughters of men. And the result of the union, the unholy union, just like in the garden, was a God-man. A man who became God. This is in all the signs. If you want to see it on the Jewish hexagram, which is, I believe, the mark of the beast, there's six lines, like I told you before. There's 666 encoded right in this thing. There's two pyramids, one up, one down. As above, so below. The male, the female. The lingam, which is the male, the pyramid going up, and the yoni going down. The sons of God, the pyramid going up, the daughters of men going down. Same thing is in the compass and the square, etc., etc. In almost every sign you can see in the world, not every, but almost every sign, you will see this is the secret that man can become God, the sons of God and the daughters of men. So, this is something to think about, ladies and gentlemen, something very important to think about. This is why you should understand what these icons are meaning. The pyramid going up also means the flame. And the water is what's going down. You see? They call themselves the children of the flame, and they say, we've come from the flame, and we will return to the flame. And that's why you see many of these people will not be buried into the earth, but they will be cremated because they came from the flame and they will be returned to the flame. Yeah, that's right. Not everybody knows why they're getting cremated. Some are just doing it because it's cheaper. So the next parallel, both while appealing to reason, feel no conjunction in regards to historical facts, no matter how certain the historical evidence might be against their chosen view. Russell, secular history is no standard by which to correct the supposed errors of the Bible. We are not to call upon to harmonize these chronological data with the tangled records of secular history. Watchtower 56, I guess it is. Or would that be 60? X is 10. 66. 66. Watchtower 66. Sorry about that. July 1st, 1923, page 196 and 202. Russell's chronology disregards many historical events. The Watchtower Society continues to this day to regard 607 BC as the fall of Jerusalem, in spite of the massive overwhelming evidence that it took place in 586 and 587 BC. For further information along this line, the reader is directed to Carl Olaf Johnson's, whichever way you want to say that, excellent expose, The Gentile Times Reconsidered, La Jolla, California, Good News Defenders, 1983, Harrison's Vision of Glory, also covers numerous witness twistings of historical facts. Witnesses' claim to antiquity are as fictional as the Masonic myths. Several Jehovah Witnesses the author has witnessed to have all stated they are not part of an organization. It appears this is a new thing they have been taught to say. They're not part of an organization. You see, what happens to these Jehovah Witnesses is they come and you speak to them and they're not going to listen to anything they say, but I'm sure they have other witnesses there with them. They often do. And what happens is they go back and they learn how to refute these things. This is exactly what the Roman Catholics do, is they refute everything you can say about them, about the statues, about changing the word of Yahweh, about the Pope being the, you know, anything you can think about. They have an explanation for all these things because they got nothing better to do all day than to touch little boys and come up with explanations. And that's not meant to be a joke at all, because it isn't funny at all. So let's go to Masonry. Steinbrenner, G.W., Past Master, Origin and Early History of Masonry, page 19 and 20, speaks about the Masonic practice of turning fiction to fact. Sounds very Jewish to me, Mr. Steinbrenner. On page 28, he suggests, "Let Freemasons give up their vain boasting, which ignorance has foiled into the order, and relinquish a fabulous antiquity, rather than sacrifice common sense. In many ways, the Freemasons have been increasingly following this path. And being more realistic, there are still some schools of Masonic thought that give credence to legend and myth." When the author interviewed a 33-degree Scottish Rite and a Knights Templar York Rite, both men denied that the Freemasons are secretive. "No, we are not secretive. We're accused of that." The Masons' own periodical Knights Templar, 9/1988, says on page 20, says, "In addition, many elderly members in particular maintain the veil of secrecy when questioned, clinging to the old ways and refusing to divulge any information about the organization." Very interesting, huh? You know, one of the Masons' favorite things to do is when you show them things in their own books and with their own people like Albert Pike or anybody, they'll say, "Oh, you're taking this out of context." That's what they revert to almost all the time. "Oh, you're taking that out of context." And that was how they were taught to refute things. Of course, I don't accept that, but that's what they were taught nevertheless. Now, Russell, both are fascinated with numbers and special cryptic meanings for numbers. Uh-oh. Harrison, Visions of Glory, page 48. Russell's calculations are not easy to unravel. They are, however, not without certain quaint interest. New dates previously unmentioned spring up like weeds in Russell's writings, which defy synopsis. How that man loved numbers and charts. It's fruitless to speculate how, perhaps, but what if he hadn't been a child whiz bookkeeper? Russell wasn't the first or last man to snow people with numbers. Russell studied the meanings of numbers, The Watchtower, April 1880, page 5, in an article on number 7, quote-unquote, and The Watchtower, March 1881, page 5, came out on number 3, quote unquote. Well, I'm going to just finish this very quickly so we can stop right. So masonry. A brief look at Masonic books will display their attachment to hidden meanings and dates within Freemasonry. Part of the Masonic ritual is described on page 104 of The Deadly Deception. The Sovereign Grand Commander closed the meeting out of the Supreme Council with the mystic number, striking with his sword 5, 3, 1, and then 2 times. After the closing prayer, we all said, amen, 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 you see. That's why I don't say amen. And it was over. The key in Masonry to Kabbalistic thought is the Sefer Yetzirah, or Sefer HaZohar. Within the book, number symbology is important. Chapter 1 deals with the number 10. Chapter 2 deals with the number 22. Chapter 3 deals with the number 3. Chapter 4 with the number 7. Chapter 5 with the number 12. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.
Softly spoken in words of truth, lay foundations for the proof. Yahweh's wisdom is sublime, stands the test of time. Words are spoken from the heart. Let us now be set apart. O ye soldiers of the host, give your all and stand your post. Through the day and through the night, gird your loins and fight the fight. Draw your sword and speak your peace, obey his laws and never cease.